And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is your RBLR Rays podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dobb, along with my co-host, Pat Davenport. Pat, how are you feeling?
I am feeling pretty good today. I have got a series win manifesting in my brain while we talk today. I think while we go live, we're going to see a big home run happen somewhere in Houston. I'm hoping a Ray hits it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Making sure the monkey's paw doesn't curl when I say a big home run, and then it was like a Yordan Alvarez grand slam or something.
What is the monkey's paw? I've heard people like use that expression. Where does that come from? Do you know?
I don't know like who wrote it, but it was like an old folklore tale where like you find this cursed monkey's paw and it has three fingers. And it lets you make a wish, and every time you make a wish, the monkey's paw, the finger curls, and then, but like it always, like
those like backfires on you, or something,
yeah,
right?
In a bad way. So if you'd be like, oh, I wish I become famous, and you then become famous for like something really controversial, or like you get framed for a crime or something like
that.
Or you're like, I wish I had lots of money, and then like all of your family die, but they happen to like leave the money to you or whatever. So that's how the monkey's paw works. And that's why I am saying there's going to be a big home run, but it's going to be a Rays home run. So that if there is a monkey's paw, we don't have to like leave that technicality.
Well, skipping over from monkeys to Rays, this is the Rays podcast, not the Monkey's Paw podcast. So there's still somebody listening after that. But thank you guys for joining us today. We've got a lot to talk about. It's kind of been a crazy 2 weeks. There's a lot more roster moves that were made even beyond the trade, like included in the trade deadline, after the trade deadlines. We've got to talk about where the roster's at. We've got to talk about some series that have happened this week. We are currently at a above 500 week. We hope to continue that going forward. And then we're going to talk about bat and arm as always. And then we're going to kind of do a little bit of a schedule watch. Take a look and see what's coming up, what the schedule of some of our opponents looks like. You know, could that play into how this season ends? We'll see. But either way, we're going to see it with hopefully all of you. Thank you for stopping in and seeing us. If this is your first time, we are super appreciative of you stopping by and watching us. If this is your second or third or fourth time, thanks for coming back. If you would do us a huge favor, it's the best thing you can do for us, and it's free. Just hit that like button if you're on the socials or on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, subscribe. If you're on Twitter or any other socials, give us a follow. Helps us out a lot. Lets us know that you enjoy what we're doing, and we're just going to keep doing it. So we would love to have you along. It's how you'll also know when we're going live, whatever we decide to do, whether it's going live or posting other cool stuff, you're going to see it there on the socials. So do us a big favor and give us a follow there. So as we're moving on now from the trade deadline, there was a couple other transactions just as sort of some housekeeping to discuss since the trade deadline. Richie Palacios got hurt is currently being diagnosed as a right knee sprain. He's on the 10-day right now. Cameron Meisner was promoted up from the Bulls to take his spot. Shenton has gone down. Dylan Carlson has come up from the minor leagues. So you've got some of that shifting happened after. And of course, Hunter Biggie and Christopher Morrell were activated to the roster. And we said goodbye to Joe Cunell, I believe, and Tyler Zuber. So all that kind of happened. So how are you feeling about the roster as it's constructed with everything that's been happening?
Yeah. So like, it's weird because like this time last week was when we traded Isaac Paredes, which was And I don't know about you, but that made me scared for what deadline day was going to look like. Because if Paredes was being sold, I was like, okay, that means Brandon Lau's probably on the table. Yandy Diaz may be on the table. Pete Fairbanks might be on the table. In fact, I think we even mentioned on the pod that we were pretty concerned that save that he got in Sunday's game last week was going to be Fairbanks' last appearance as a Ray. Because he seemed very emotional, didn't he?
Yes.
So we were like, oh, what? Like, we knew we were selling. So we were like, how far will the selling go was our big concern at the end of Sunday's show, coming into the Tuesday trade deadline. But actually, they were kind of not selling on Tuesday. They got rid of the pieces that you would expect. So we got rid of Tyler Zuber, who wasn't really doing much. He was kind of maybe the front end of the pen, like kind of low leverage guy. And yeah, we got Paul Gervais back. I don't know, have you seen Paul Gervais pitch?
I have not.
Okay, so Paul Gervais is 6'10".
Wow.
He's 6'10" righty that like pitches with a high velo, crazy extension as you'd expect, but he also like throws at like a kind of 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock release point.
Interesting.
He's disgusting. He's absolutely disgusting. So keep an eye on him as like a relief prospect as he comes up from Double A. And then we traded Ahmed Rosario to the Dodgers. He's back there again. And we got Michael Flynn. Apparently there's some like US in joke about Michael Flynn that I don't know, being a British person, but everyone like shared something about an army general.
Yeah, I think there, I wish that I understood it as well, but I also saw everybody saying like, not that Michael Flynn. I don't know what they're referring to. I need to probably should find out because he's on the team now. So I should probably, I'm just going to really quick Google Michael Flynn and see what you're talking.
Yeah, that joke is lost on me, but he's a reliever that went to AAA. To get, you know, it was always the plan with Rosario. If he was good and we were not good, he was going to get traded to a contender. It's just funny that it's the Dodgers again. But he can join KK in the, like, you know.
He was part of Trump. So, okay. I remembered really quickly. Michael Flynn was the national security advisor for the first like 3 weeks of Trump's presidency. Right. And then was disavowed. Yeah. That was a bit of a mess with him.
Okay.
So I see why
we didn't acquire him.
We did not. He's, I think, in his 70s. 65, excuse me.
Okay. So yeah, maybe he could play for the White Sox still, but like not the Rays right now. And then, yeah, we traded Sean Armstrong to the Cardinals for Dylan Carlson at the death, which
that was crazy.
Very, yeah, interesting.
Not really expecting that at all.
It felt like, so let's be clear, Dylan Carlson for the past year or so has not been very good, right?
No.
But he's a very highly regarded prospect coming up the system. And then up the Cardinals system. And then, like, to be honest, Sean Armstrong was probably going to get DFA'd in a week or two anyway, right? So to get
Edwin, Edwin, you say it has completely taken his role, like, almost entirely. And is much better.
Like, he was not going to be given a roster spot. Like, if he wasn't going to get DFA'd at some point this year, he wasn't going to be on the roster next year. Because he'd been struggling. And to get someone who's like a kind of fixer-upper project where it's kind of low stakes for that, that's a pretty good deal for me. I don't know about you.
I agree. I definitely felt that way. I was shocked when I saw the return for Armstrong because I was like, I was imagining a trade very similar to the Tyler Zuber trade. We're going to get somebody who's got some fun tools that we like the look of. We think there could be some potential there, whether it was an offensive prospect or a defense or a pitching prospect. That's kind of what I figured was going to happen. And instead, we got somebody who, yes, as you just said, has been like super bad for the last year. He wasn't much better. He's been really rough. He's got some, he does some things well, but he's a super highly regarded prospect. It makes you kind of dream about what he could be if given a little bit of time to develop in the system. It'll be interesting to see if he stays when Palacios comes back or if he gets sent back down. I'm really curious to see that. I kind of think he will get sent back down when Palacios comes up, but it's interesting to think about what their plans for him might be. But just another guy that has potential and might fill out a Durham roster for a little bit. But with Randy gone now from the outfield, there is kind of a spot in the outfield that's unaccounted for like an everyday starter. DeLuca is kind of the guy – and Palacios both are kind of fighting for that spot, because you've got Siri as lockdown center, you've got Josh Lowe lockdown in left field. So you've kind of got that right field spot. I think I've switched that.
Yes.
Josh Lowe in right field, and left field, you've got a really open competition, I think. I mean, it's nice to have the platoon of righty lefty, but it'll be interesting to see if either one of them or somebody else, maybe Cameron Meisner, who is up with the team, maybe Dylan Carlson, can somebody take that spot and make it their own? Because I think it's kind of an open competition right now for a starting position right there.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a big position battle. I don't think there's anybody like in the minors that's like the obvious long-term fit in left field. It is kind of like a, hey, let's take a look at all these guys that are like, none of them are like, yeah, it needs to be that guy. So it's just like, let's see who does well, and you can afford to ride the hot hand in that kind of scenario, or play the matchups. I mean, Dylan Carlson, in a super small sample, he hit a home run the other day. Mm-hmm. Live reaction is that he doubled and scored just now. So
off of a Brandon Lau double.
Yeah, so like he's doing all right, and he's a switch hitter, so he can match up well against pretty much anyone. So hey, let's keep an eye on it. Let's see where it goes.
And I think you'd like the answer to be either Carlson or DeLuca, only because, I mean, because Carlson you'd like because he was a cool prospect and you'd like him to work out. DeLuca you'd like because he's a part of the Tyler Glasnow return. And Pepiō, I think, is pitched well enough to kind of make, even if DeLuca doesn't work out, you're probably fine with it because of how well Pepiō has turned out when you look at that trade. But you'd love to be able to say, we got this great pitcher who's going to be a, you know, middle to front end, which he'd be a front end of a lot of rotations, not going to be the front end of ours because we've just got too much talent there. But he's going to be a top of your, you know, rotation starter and a great maybe right field, center field guy. But it'll be interesting because he's got, you know, DeLuca's been getting a lot of chances now, especially now that Randy's gone. He's getting a lot of chances. And with on the combination of Randy being gone and Palacios being hurt, you know, DeLuca's getting a really kind of extended run starting pretty consistently. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, can he kind of do what we were hoping he could do, which is play good defense, hit the ball well. Could we see another level from him that we kind of have hoped he could get to, but we haven't seen it quite yet.
Yeah, his at-bats have not been good lately. Particularly, he seems to be in the unfortunate situation where he comes up with runners on a lot and then just like strikes out on three pitches. That's been happening a lot, which you hate to see. Hopefully there's a way he can work his way out of that. But right now it's not looking good on the old bat side, and it hasn't been for a while, which is a shame because he showed a bit of promise when he first came up and kind of had that hot run. But since then, it's not looked good with the bat. Do you think there's any hope for DeLuca with the bat?
I mean, I think there is. I think when you look, you know, even just he's shown samples even this year of being good. He's sitting right now at a, you know, 62 WRC plus on the season, which is obviously not good. But, you know, he's been a plus bat at every level in the minor leagues on his way up. So it would be surprising for me if he just never provided any value at all from a bat perspective. But the question is, how much value is he going to provide? Is he going to – because I think, you know, we saw what Manuel Margot did for the team. I think right now you'd like a little more than that. Because I think kind of like our thought was when we talked about this and we got him, is he could be kind of a ready-made replacement for Manuel Margot. We'd like to see him go to the next level. Not that Manny Margot is bad, but he's kind of a replacement level, really nice defense outfielder. There's quite a few of them out there. You'd like maybe to see just a little bit more offensive value. Right now we're not seeing that. And the question is going to be, can he get to that next level of value? And it's a really good question. I think he has it in him. I just don't know. And he's going to get a chance to show it. So if he can do it, he's going to get a chance. I'm trying to find some more numbers on DeLuca because I feel like I have a gut feeling that he can. I'm trying to find some numbers to back up my gut. See if
while
I can
you're doing
find
that.
What I was looking for. Because his plate discipline overall – like one of the things I was going to say, one of the things that I like about him is his plate discipline is improving. Because in last year, he was sitting at a 40% O swing, which means he's swinging at balls out of the zone 40% of the time. This year, he's up to a 36% in a larger sample size. He's swinging at fewer pitches outside of the zone. So already, okay, that's good. We're swinging at fewer pitches outside of the zone. The rest of his stats are kind of are sort of similar to his career averages, but that's something that I'm looking at to say, can we get a little bit more plate discipline from him going forward? It'll be interesting to see, but that's kind of where I'm looking to see, okay, look, there's a good sign there. Can we see a little bit more going forward?
Yeah, because with these kind of players, like having really good defense, whatever position you play, puts your floor in a really good place. Like, you will be, if you can play good defense, yes, you will always be useful. But yeah, to play every day, you need to provide something with a bat. And he is so, like, almost there. But yeah, right now, he needs to stop with the chasing. Like, even with 36%, it's still quite high as a chase rate. So he just needs to, like, be a bit more selective and tone it down a little bit. I think he's pressing. I think he's pressing right now because he's going to get a run of games and a run of playing time to prove it. So
I hope that he can, because I like to see that. I love to see a guy that has his kind of defensive tools provide value offensively and be able to fill that spot. It would be nice. Cause I mean, I love Randy. He provided way more offensive value than, DeLuca ever has, but the defense is definitely better with DeLuca out there. So you'd love to see some value come offensively too. Regarding Palacios, the expected time that he's going to be out, the last thing I saw was about 4 weeks for him to be out. Hopefully not too much longer than that. He's been a good part of this lineup, especially to be a platoon with DeLuca now that Randy's gone. I hate for him to be gone for a long time, but it doesn't seem like it's a super serious injury, at least not at the moment.
Yeah, wrecked his knee on a slide. Yeah, it's a big loss because, like we said, there's no obvious, like, hey, this guy can just come up and replace him. It's a lot of taking chances on unproven guys. And while Palacios doesn't set the world on fire from either direction, I also don't think he does anything particularly badly. He was just like a nice, solid guy that could like work you a good AB. You'll get on base. He can run. He's a competent fielder. He's like a jack of all trades, if a master of none, and had that positional versatility as well. So, yeah, it's a real shame. I think it could even force Christopher Morel into playing the outfield sooner. But I don't know. I don't know what the plan is for Morel. He's playing a lot of second base at the moment, but I don't know if that's where his future is. I really don't know where they're going to like fit him in as well. It's just a weird puzzle with all these players. I think apart from Yandy and Lau and Lowe and Siri, like the rest of the position player core like kind of all over the shop and like lots of like maybes.
Well, and it doesn't help that the little bit we've seen of Morel at second base, Morel, has not been inspiring. I want to say he cost us a game because that's a bit hyperbolic, but he sure did allow a run to score that ended up being the winning run because of his error. And he had another error that didn't result in a run, but was not a good look. So I don't know that I want to see him playing a whole lot of second base. We'll see. But the Rays certainly seem okay with it. So I guess I'm fine with it. If the Rays are fine with it, we'll have to see. If I see a few more errors like that, I'm not sure if I'm going to still be just happy about it, but at least for now, you know, he's provided some good offensive output. So we'll see if he can kind of get ahead on his shoulders defensively a little bit.
Yeah, my gut feeling is that his long-term features in a corner outfield, I think he's playing second base for two reasons. I think, firstly, it's Brandon Lau has noted that he's playing through a broken toe and he can play through it and it's fine. But it means it allows more time off his feet, which I think is like useful. So you can get Brandon Lau more time off his feet. And also, I think they're like trying to slowly ease Morel into a corner outfield role, especially playing an outfield role in the Trop, where it is harder to track balls up there. So I think they're going to like get him practice out there, but they don't want to get him into live games until they're like absolutely certain he's ready. And in the meantime, you can get Brandon Lau more time off his broken toe, which is definitely going to be useful for his health and his overall production, I imagine, as well.
And top contributors like Paredes leaving, getting that continued good production from Lau offensively is going to be really important for this team, because you need Yandy, you need B. Lau, you need J-Lo, who is starting to kind of come into his own a little bit, start to turn things around, had a very, very nice game last night. Really good to see him getting back on the horse. You need those three guys to be really good to provide some value in the background around, you know, some guys that are not really providing enough value yet because they're so young, because they're getting a lot of them their first crack at consistent major league at bats. So I'm hoping that, you know, this time off of his feet, like you're saying, that Morel's providing B. Lau will allow him to continue to provide, kind of be kind of the guy leading the offense.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, the Rays played some games over the past few days since we last spoke. They had a series against the Reds, which we didn't talk about much last week because of all the crazy stuff that was going on last week. We also had a really short series with the Marlins, which we split. And then we are currently in the midst of this Astros series where we dropped the opener, but took the second game, currently leading in the fourth of the third game. It's more kind of 500 ball. Like, we split the series with the Marlins. We're currently splitting this series with the Astros. We did well against the Reds. I think we were unlucky not to sweep the Reds. But still a lot of just like refusing to go on a run. Like, obviously they're trying to go on a run. I'm not saying that they're then like doing it on purpose, but like there's so many opportunities for them to like put together more wins than just like, hey, we'll take 2 out of 3 or we'll split a series. Like, there's opportunities to really hit the pedal, which you kind of need to do to get back into this playoff race significantly. And it's just never quite happening. Every time you think there's progress, it's still not quite getting there. How are you feeling after this past week of Rays baseball in terms of their ability to go on the run required to grab a playoff spot?
They're doing what they like need to do, in the sense that they're winning series that you expect them to win. You know, winning the series against the Reds, split, it's hard in a 2-game series, splitting the series versus the Marlins. Would have really liked to see them win that, you know, both those games. I thought that was a missed opportunity. And they're doing what they need to do against Houston, which is put themselves in a position to win this series, because it's a little bit nerve wracking because it feels like they really can't afford to lose a series. Like, yeah, even losing 2 games in a row, losing the last game of the Miami Marlins series and the first game of the Houston series, which they could still win, felt like terrible. And they dropped back to 5.5 after that game, after the game against Houston. They're back to just a 5 games back because the Twins and the Royals are kind of spinning around there right now at the first wild card spot. I think they can still go on a run. They can still make the playoffs. The reason I think that, and I'm going to keep saying that, and I've said it for a while now, they are going to play the teams they need to be playing to get into the playoffs. If you look, we'll talk about this more later, but if you look at the teams they're playing in the month of August, in the month of September, if you could have asked me, hey, who would you like to play, in the sense of who, you know, obviously I'd like to just play the A's the whole month and win all those games. But if you can't do that, if you've got to play a real MLB schedule, I'd like to play the teams in front of me so I'm in control of my own destiny a little bit. And if nothing else, the Rays are not going to be able to look back at the end of the season and say, well, you know, it was out of our hands. We had no, there's nothing we could do. You had your opportunities. You're going to play almost, I think, maybe not every team. I think almost every single team in front of you, you will play, except for the Royals, which you've already played. You're going to play every other team in front of you, except for the Yankees you've already played. But literally every other team that's in front of you right now, you're going to play at least once. At the beginning of September, there's a 4-game series at home versus the Twins. That's going to loom really, really large. There's a couple series that just, you just look at it and you're like, man, that's a huge series. Home against Houston, home against the Orioles. There's some really, really massive series that you're, that is kind of gonna, you know, if it goes one way, you could be looking at, you know, really like locking in on a playoff spot. If it goes the other way, we might be talking about playing prospects.
Yeah, like we've just, we've been this way probably since the All-Star break, where it feels like the season's on a bit of a knife edge, where like if we get swept at the wrong time,
yeah,
like the season's over, right? Like in terms of playoff contention. So you just want us to get like a sweep somewhere, just so that like it gives us a little bit more wiggle room. Yeah. Like obviously we can only control what the games that we play, and the fact that the Royals have been quite good and the Twins have like started to go on a bit of a run is unfortunate. But like, I think, yeah, we've been waiting to get out of first gear all season, and we've just not yet. So it's frustrating. I guess that leads to the question, because I have seen this in Ray's discourse, and I want to put it to you to answer. Are the Rays putting their best roster that they possibly could out there? Are they putting in their best effort from a roster construction standpoint? Because people are asking, is Taylor Walls the best option at shortstop? Is Cameron Meisner the best option in the outfield? Is Alex Jackson the best option at catcher? Like, these have been things that have been going on, and it's like, would it be better if we brought Rene Pinto in for Jackson? Would it be better if we called up a Caminero and sent down or got rid of Walls? Would it be better if we, you know, tried to, I don't know, take a chance on someone in the outfield? I think people are worried about, you know, the lineup hasn't been performing as well as it has, as it could be, and people are concerned that the Rays are failing to recognize that there are better hitters that could join the lineup, and they're not doing that. What are your thoughts on all of that? That's a lot to throw at you, but like, what are your thoughts on like, are the Rays putting in their best effort to put the best roster out there?
It's a good question, because we've been told all year that we want to be competitive. We want to compete for a playoff spot. That's what the messaging has always been from the Rays front office, from Kevin Cash, from the players. So we'd expect for the roster to reflect that. There's a good question about Taylor Walls. Here's my perspective, because I've seen it on Twitter just saying, let's get rid of him. Let's say you do that. Let's say that you remove Taylor Walls. Let's just say, see you, kid. We're done with you. You're off the team. If we do that, then you could maybe, like you're kind of hinting at, bring up a guy like Junior Caminero, who is kind of seen as the potential future face of the franchise by almost everybody else, you know, by almost every, you know, major outlet, by even, you know, internally, he's kind of seen as that guy. Let's say that you do that. If you do that, you're now playing Caballero at shortstop every day, pretty much. Because there's really not, like, if you look at, even looking at the 40 man, right? Because if you get rid of Walls completely, the only other guy on the 40 man that can really play shortstop consistently is a Slavis Basabe, which I'm going to say for everybody, that's a no from everybody. He's just like, I'm sorry, Basabe, if you're listening. Hi. And also, I'm sorry, but I don't think you should be playing shortstop at the major league level right now. So we probably can't just get rid of Taylor Walls outright. We just probably just can't, because there's really not anybody else who can play shortstop. If you take him out of the starting lineup, you're going to have to play somebody else at third, because Cabby's been playing most of the third to kind of give, you know, to provide some defense over there. If you put Meade at third, I'm kind of okay with that, because I think he can play a pretty good third. The arm strength isn't there. The glove is fine. But if you play him there every day, you kind of got him play him there every day. And then you're probably playing, again, you're either playing Cabby there every day or most days. So you could do that, but I don't know that you're really that much better offensively if you do that. And you are worse defensively, not only at shortstop, but also at third. And if you're looking at a team that is, you know, they need run prevention to succeed, because they're just not scoring a lot of runs overall. So if you then say we're gonna lower our ability to prevent runs, you know, I'm gonna say, well, we need to really increase our ability to create runs. And I don't think removing Walls from the everyday lineup and replacing him with Cabby or Meade is going to do enough. And it also isn't going to do enough to replace him with Caminero. Because as great as he might be one day, he is not going to be able to provide the value we really want right now at the major league level. I think he might next year. I think he may start at third base on opening day next year. I think there's a strong possibility that happens, or maybe at second base next year. I think we could definitely see that. But right now, I don't think it's the right move, but I understand the frustration because he can be hard to watch offensively sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, for me, something that I personally dislike is a complete dead zone in the lineup, like where you go, right, when this guy comes up, it's like when the pitcher used to bat before the DH, right? Where you're like, okay, like this guy is not going to get a hit, and maybe once in a blue moon he will fluke into getting on base, but like, to be honest, you're just kind of writing it off. Right now, it feels like we've got a few players that feel like dead spots. If we fielded a lineup where Walls, DeLuca, and Jackson are all playing, which is totally a thing that we could do, it feels like the whole bottom three of the lineup is a dead zone. It feels like we've got three pitchers at the bottom of the lineup. They are better than pitchers, like, don't get me wrong, but it feels like you're like, I can't tell you enough how me and many other Rays fans, and I'm sure yourself too, Zach, how devastated you feel when you get runners at second and third, one out, and then you see that DeLuca and Jackson are the guys up to try and bring him home. You go, oh, man, there goes that inning. And that means, you know, and if you had one extra good batter in the lineup, that could completely change the outlook of an inning. But right now it just feels like if you're, you know, if your leadoff guy gets on, but he's the number six guy in the lineup, you may as well just give up.
That's never what we want to be able to say. Is you never want to say that we're done if there's less than three outs. You never want to feel like you have to say that. I do definitely, maybe I'm just naive, I don't know. I still believe in all those guys, most of those guys, not so much Walls, but I still do believe in DeLuca, and I've seen enough from Rortvedt, and I've seen enough flashes from Jackson that I still kind of believe there's a chance. But it definitely is frustrating when you get the bad outcome when you've got runners on base. We were talking about this in our Discord chat over the weekend, just kind of how frustrating it is to get runners in scoring position consistently and not score. My big frustration from the first game of the Houston series was you had, you know, runners in scoring position for six at-bats versus relievers, and you did nothing with it. It's frustrating to watch. That being said, overall, the Rays are pretty good in those situations. We just had some bad luck, you know, in those couple of instances and just didn't get the job done. But at the end of the day, like, you look at the next day, we had better luck with runners in scoring position. Already today, we've done well. You know, had one bad at-bat with runners in scoring position, but then he had a double with a runner in scoring position, scored a run. So it's all, you know, it all kind of ebbs and flows a little bit. I don't think we're bad with runners in scoring position, but it is frustrating to watch it. And I think that's kind of what I think a lot of Rays fans are feeling right now. It's just frustration watching this team because we haven't really felt that in a while. Where it's just like, man, this just kind of isn't fun. Like, I'm having a good time, I think, overall, watching some of these younger guys, seeing what they've got. But I can totally understand Rays fans being just frustrated generally. Because it's like, this hasn't been the season we expect. It hasn't been the season I expected it to be. This hasn't been the season anybody even thought it was going to be, even, you know, a couple months in. It's just not what we thought it was going to be. And here we are. Does it mean the season's over? No. Does it mean the team sucks? No. But it is frustrating. And I think that's kind of, if you was going to describe, like, being a Rays fan or Rays fandom right now in one word, I think frustrated would just be the word to describe it all.
Yeah, I do agree in that it's frustrating. I don't agree fully that we are good with runners in scoring position. I mean, it is a reductive stat. Don't get me wrong. Like, to look at batting average with runners in scoring position, but we are bad with, like, our batting average with runners in scoring position is like .228. Like, it means that which is like 28th in Major League Baseball, which is not good. I think we have been better lately with runners in scoring possession than we were at other points in the season, but I still think we have not been good. Do I think that that's because of anything in particular? I don't think I could say that with any confidence. I don't think I could say that, like, there's a reason why we've not come through with runners in scoring position. But like, I mean, overall on the year, we've got a 94 WRC plus, which is 25th in baseball. So it's not been good. It's not been pretty with runners in scoring position. I don't know if anything can change other than keep doing what we're doing, which is get the opportunities with runners in scoring position and hope that eventually the sequencing works out in our favor. Because me personally, I don't believe too deeply in clutch, like that the team is unclutch or anything like that. But and therefore, I believe that getting a single with nobody on and getting a single with runners on is like the same level of likelihood. But it just, we've had awful luck with the sequencing of like when we've had our good at bats and when we've not, or when we've been overmatched. That's how I see it, which is like, I don't want to say it's entirely down to bad luck, but it feels like it's down to bad luck at the moment. So just keep getting guys on, because we're good at getting guys on, and hopefully we get some positive regression is kind of where I'm at. But I don't want to sugarcoat it and say it's been good.
What I would say is that from July 1st onward till now, the Rays rank tied for 8th in MLB with a 111 WRC plus since July 1st till now. So I would say lately we've been better. Doesn't feel like that because we just had a bad game with it on Saturday night. But lately we've been better. I think, you know, the team has been better. Like offensively, the team's just been better since the beginning of July moving onward. So I think we're getting better. You know, what's good? I mean, anything above a 100 WRC plus is technically good. I'd love to see a little bit closer to like a top five, which would be like a 125 WRC plus. That'd be top five in MLB over that span. That's not easy to do. Definitely the team did not perform well with runners in scoring position to start the year, and they're just now playing their way out of it. Obviously, to the fact that they hit to a 111 WRC plus for a month and then have a 94 still on the season does not look good for how we played to start the year. So I think that's there too. Some of it is positive regression to the mean where you had some really, really bad luck, I think, and some bad process too, to start the season from some of our guys to created bad outcomes. But I think everybody's doing a little bit better with their process and everybody's getting a little bit better results. And we hope that some of that BABIP luck will turn and we'll start to see that move positively for us. I would say we are good, not great, not amazing. We're good right at this very moment. We are good. We're not great. We have bad nights. But we it's funny because if you could see our group chat, I was complaining about this on Saturday night and Sunday, or sorry, excuse me, Friday night and Saturday morning. I was complaining about this a lot with us, and the bad wrist game was Friday night. Excuse me. I was complaining about this, but you know, given the benefit of being able to look at it a little bit more broadly, I think we are good. We're just not great.
Yeah. But it feels like we're going to need to be great between now and the end of the year to get to the playoffs.
And that's fair. One thing that is great and would be great and we really appreciate is if you would vote for us in the Best of the Bay competition. There's a link at the RBLR socials. You can find it to go vote for us. You can vote once a day if you are so inclined. We'd really appreciate it. We come on here every day with the idea to give you guys the best podcast out there. And I know everybody else in the RBLR family does the exact same thing, comes on every day trying to give you the best podcast. If you think we are giving you a great podcast, you could do us a huge favor in voting for us for Best of the Bay. It would mean a lot to us. We really appreciate it. It's in all the socials. If you go and look at the descriptions, or we've got posts there with the link, do us a huge favor and go vote. You can vote once a day.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been hearing that all of the best people vote once a day, and you can do that once a day all the way up until the end of the month, August 31st. So you can set a streak, perhaps a voting streak, and really help us out and let us know that we're doing a good job. Because if you think we're the best podcast in the Bay, then you should absolutely vote for us, and it would be outstanding. All right, you know what it is. It's the dog days of summer. It's mid-August now. Where is the time gone? We're going to do some schedule watch, but before we do that, we got to talk about our bat and arm of the week. That's what we got to do. Now, I've done some digging on Bat and Arm of the Week in preparation for today's show. Do you want to, should we do our Bat and Arm of the Week first? And then I can tell you some fun
let's do our Bat and Arm first. And then I want to hear your fun stats. So we'll do that. We'll do that after the Bat and Arm.
Okay. So, we've got some good candidates. We are in agreement on our Bat of the Week this week. So Zach, who is our RBLR Bat of the Week?
Our Bat of the Week this week is somebody that we, like, if you would have asked me, like, hey, who would you like the Bat of the Week this week to be? And it would make you happy, it would make you feel good. It would have been this guy. And it's because it's a guy that we needed to be good. And we need to be the guy he was last year. And we're starting to see that. It's Josh Lowe with a absolutely nuclear game last night. On base four times, three extra base hits, two home runs, a double. What a performance last night. And just a great week overall. Provided over, I believe it was a two, it was over a 250 WRC plus on the week. And it's what we needed to see from him. He's a guy that we said, hey, this guy can be one of the best starting right fielders in baseball. We need to see that from him. We went a lot of the season with him being hurt and not seeing that. To see him getting back to being the kind of guy that we know he can be is huge for this team. Josh Lowe is the Bat of the Week.
Yeah. Monkey's paw curls, question mark, that you wished for Josh Lowe to be the Bat of the Week? I hope not. He was outstanding. And yeah, I mean, a 0.6 FWAR this week, insane.
Yeah.
Like half a WAR in a week is... it's one of the better weeks you could possibly get. Like, it doesn't really get much better than that. So, Josh Lowe, please keep it up. You're the best. You're going to be so important if this team's going to go on a run. You need to go on that clutch god run that you went on last year and get the hits with runners in scoring position for us, because it doesn't look like anyone else is going to do it. So, thank you, Josh Lowe. We're in disagreement on our arm of the week this week.
We are.
But it was a super close, tight call. And I think it was essentially that it was a split decision. So we've decided to take one each. Who is your RB alarm of the week?
My RB alarm of the week is somebody that has been, you know, trending in a really positive direction for a while now. And this week kind of summed up how good he's been. And I think even though he had one, you might characterize it as a bad outing over this week, I still thought that he deserved, you know, some recognition, because he's been really good for a little while now. He's kind of was played so good that he played somebody else off the team. It's Edwin Uceda, who kind of played Sean Armstrong off the team onto a different baseball team, which is kind of crazy. He had a 0.5 F4 over the last week, which is crazy to have that as a pitcher. Pitched five innings, which is, again, a lot for a reliever. He's a reliever, not a starter. He pitched as much as some starters. Like, Taj Bradley only went five this last week. Uceda went five as well. He had one outing where he gave up, you know, a lot of, you know, two runs, which is kind of, you know, a lot, you know, for a reliever. But he was in a two inning, outing, and he struck out five guys in that outing. And if you actually watched the two runs that were given up, it was kind of some nonsense was involved. Some weak balls were involved. Some, you know, unfortunate situations were involved that he gave up those two runs. But I was really, really impressed with his performance. And what I thought was the most impressive, his FIP, I'm not going to be able to say it. His FIP was a negative 0.83, which is crazy to have a negative FIP. Just really, really good fielding independent pitching. I finally mustered up the ability to say it. Part of the reason why I think he has been so good, you know, recently, is when you look at his kind of career statistics, he's made huge strides in a couple of important areas. One of those is outside the zone swing percentage. He has jumped from, in previous years, hovering around like a 25-ish outside zone swing percentage. Small sample size, so that's fair, but he's jumped up to almost a 37% chase rate outside the zone swing percentage. Really, really impressive. He has also dropped his in zone swing percentage, which if you look at the way that his pitches tunnel, he's creating that deception, which is resulting in guys not swinging as much, even in the zone, which is resulting in a lot of strikeouts, resulting in only 3 walks, by the way, as well. Just doing a really, really good job overall. The rest of his percentages are kind of, you know, where they've been over the course of his career. He's generating more swings. The other really good thing that I love to see about him, I mentioned it a second ago, the walk rate, only 4% this season. Really, really like to see it. And that's up against a 33% K rate. Love to see that. Really, really great performances overall this season from you. It's kind of just an excuse to talk about how good he's been all year. Had a great week last week as well. I think Edwin, you say to earn my arm of the week.
Yeah, I mean, what an addition he's been to the bullpen. I remember when he signed in spring and we went, hey, this guy's got, like, he was putting up some good outings in spring and we were like, hey, this guy might be up to something here. And boy, is he. He's up to something. And yeah, I think he could now be a seventh or eighth inning option if you really want a right-hander in that spot. Or a sixth and seventh, because my favorite thing about him is that he's no stranger to going several innings as well. He's not just a one-and-done guy. He can get you 2 innings, which is really scary if you're opponents. So love that for you, Seda. My arm of the week goes to someone that really kind of played a good stopper role this week. I know I use it a lot, but he was the stopper of the week, and that was Zach Littell. Put up a great start against a dangerous Astros lineup where he went 5 2/3, just gave up the 1 run. He was really, really good and did exactly what needed to be done against a tough Astros team on the road, and did what he always did and just provided like a gritty, like hard work start where he was good at getting soft contact and getting big outs when he needed them. So it's a story that we've told before with Zach Littell, but I mean, did we expect Zach Littell to be kind of, is he the ace of the staff now?
Right at this very moment, maybe, because I think Springs will eventually become that, even maybe this year. Pepio was also fighting for that spot, as is Taj, but neither of them have done it as consistently and for as long as Littell has done it this year. So right now I'd probably have to give it to Littell, although I think Taj and Pepe are both maybe a little better than him, but he has been the most consistent and been around and the longest and provided the most consistent innings. So Littell he's earned it 100%.
Yeah, I guess it depends what you define as an ace. Like, is your ace just your best pitcher, or is it the guy that you could like count on in a big game, right? Who would you... Like, I shouldn't ask this question because it's a bit presumptuous, but like, who would you start in game one of a playoff series right now?
Right now, I think it's a different answer than at the end of the season. Right now, I might start Littell, honestly. I think at the end of the season, it's going to be a really tough call. Bradley is right there. I think if he hadn't had that rough start the last time he was out, I might have said Bradley, but he's kind of put a little bit of a nugget in the back of my head that I'm not sure if he's ready to be that guy yet. But he could be by the end of the year, and Springs definitely could be. But right now, I think I'd probably start Littell because at least I kind of feel like I know what I'm getting. I think there's still some potential variance from Bradley. Obviously, Pepio's hurt, right now it doesn't work for Pepio, but he could also be in the running for that later in the season. Littell, I think I'd start Littell right now.
Interesting. I think I'm like you. I'm ignoring between Bradley and Littell, but I think Littell's nerves are a bit calmer. So I think in the big moment, you'd want Littell to go first. But it's going to be close. It's going to be interesting if we do make the playoffs, what that conversation will be. But let's make the playoffs first. A couple of fun like little stat blasts I did. Don't sue us, please, Effectively Wild. On Bad and Arm of the Week. A couple of fun stats. Did you know nobody's won Bad of the Week 2 weeks in a row from either of us?
I only knew that because you told me earlier today. Which I think is crazy. I thought for sure Isak had done it.
yeah, he's not done it.
Yeah.
And then people have managed to put together like back-to-back weeks with Arm of the Week a few times. I mean, yeah. So like my question for you is, how many different players do you think have won Bat of the Week this year?
How many different players? Okay. Brandon Lau definitely has. Yandy has. Isak has. Josh Lowe just did. Who else would have won Bat of the Week? I think Roarfett won it once. Maybe did Alex Jackson win it once? I don't think he did. I can't remember if we gave it to him as a meme one time. Who else would have won it? Maybe Johnny DeLuca, I think, won it once. I'm going to say seven.
It's a good guess. Anyone at home who guessed seven is also incorrect. Anyone at home that guessed 12 would be correct. 12 different players.
Wow. Oh, you know what? Rosie won it too, I think, at least once.
So this is how it stands. So the way I judged this was if it was unanimous, they got like 2 points. And if they got it from just one of us, it was 1 point.
Okay.
So Isak Paredes has the most Bat of the Week wins this year, which I don't think is surprising. He won it 7 times. Then Brandon Lau has 6. Yeah, Yandy has 4. Lowe has 3. Siri has 3. Caballero has 2.
Siri.
Caballero has 2 Bat of the Week wins, but that was from 1 week where it was a unanimous decision. Yeah. Ahmed Rosario has 2, which again was a unanimous decision win. Rotvet has 2. Randy only got 2 this year. Richie got 1. Johnny DeLuca's got 1. And you're right, Alex Jackson got 1 as well.
That's right. Get 1. I thought for sure he got 1 somewhere along the line.
Yeah, it was me that gave it.
I forgot about Randy.
Yeah, Randy, like, Randy has, I guess, not been that good this year. But,
unfortunately.
Who do you think's won the most Arm of the Weeks?
Arm of the Weeks. I'm going to say Littell.
Littell is third place.
Is third place.
Yeah.
Eflin?
No, Eflin is even lower. It's Pepio.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
Pepio's won it 9 times. Twice by unanimous decision.
Nice.
Which can, and then I've given him 3 times by myself. And three times by unanimous decision, and then I've given him 3 more by myself. I'm clearly a man.
You're
of Pep. Habit.
You're Pep guy.
Yeah. I mean, in second place is Taj because he's turned it up lately.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
All 8 of those wins have come. Well, 7 of those 8 have come in like the past like month. Mm. So he's been very good. Aaron Savali and Zach Littell has 4, and then it's Aaron Savali and Zach Eflin, both guys not on the team. You have 3.
That's crazy.
Aaron Savali's 3 came in the first 2 weeks.
He started off well.
Yeah, he won it by unanimous decision in the first week, and then I gave it to him again because to my detriment, I was a big Savali believer, so I gave it him again in the second week. Eflin won it 3 times. Colin Poche has won it twice, and that's via a unanimous decision.
Yeah.
Jacob Wagespack has won it once. Mm. Jason Adams won it once.
Yeah.
Tyler Alexander's won it once. Useda just now, and Garrett Clevenger also got a win.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think I remember Clevenger. I can't remember if I gave it to Clevenger or you gave it to Clevenger, but I remember somebody giving it to Clevenger at least once.
Yeah, it was you. You gave the clap.
That's right. I thought it was me.
You've been a champion of relievers, in fact.
I have.
Because I don't think I've given it. No, I gave it to Poche once, but that's
we the gave it to time. Him. Yeah, because he had a stretch where he was just like lights out for a couple games, pitched a bunch of innings. I think it was, I can't remember when that was, but.
Yeah, so like Poche, that time we both gave it to Poche is the only time I've actually given it to a reliever. Meanwhile, you've given Clevinger and Adam and Pochet and Yuseda all arm of the week. So you're a reliever.
I'm a reliever guy. I'm a reliever believer. That's way better. A reliever believer. I want that on a t-shirt.
So there you go. You should chime in the YouTube comments, by the way, because that's the best place to contact us and let us know about Baton Arm of the Week. And you could do a write-in vote, perhaps, or maybe you could let us know who you think is going to have the most Bat of the Weeks by the end of the season, now that Isak is
gone.
No longer on the, yeah. So we'll probably get... Lau is the odds-on favorite, but, someone could go on a tear. A couple of unanimous decisions could go a long way. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Could Josh Lowe go on a tear for the rest of the year? Find a way? He could. We'll see. We'll be there to see it. So that was interesting. Thank you for going and doing all that. That was really I was fascinated to hear what we had done over the course of the year.
Re-listening to all of the Arm and Bat of the Week segments as the season went on was very interesting, because we were making some bold claims. some bold claims back in April. There was a point where we think Johnny DeLuca was going to outproduce Randy for the next few weeks claim. We also made a claim where it was Ben Rotvet was going to be the best catcher in baseball.
Anyway, oh boy, it's a long season. What can we say? Sometimes you just say stuff. It's a long, long baseball season, and we got to kind of take a look at what the ending might look like by taking a quick peek at the schedule that we have remaining. I wouldn't say it's a favorable schedule, because we're playing a lot of good teams. But what I would say is that when the season ends and we look back, the Rays are not going to be able to say we didn't have a chance, because we're playing in summation who we're playing, not in order necessarily. We're playing Houston right now. We're going to play them again, play Baltimore, play Seattle, play Minnesota for 4 games, Baltimore, Cleveland, Boston for 6 games, all before the season's over. All teams in front of us right now that we're chasing, we're going to get to play almost every single team that we're chasing right now, except for the Yankees and the Royals we've already played. So the opportunities are going to be there. But again, you're definitely going to have to earn it, because there are a lot of good teams in front of you. You also do play the Dodgers and the Phillies, which are, and even the Diamondbacks, who we play at home. They're not slouches. It's not going to be easy. The Padres too at home. So it's a tough schedule to end the year. Really the only I'm hesitant to say this, but easy series we have left is a 4-gamer on the road in Oakland, which that could be, who knows, going on the road to Oakland could be a mess.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of a 1-2-3-4, in the middle of a 10-game stretch of where you don't get a day off, which is not great. Excuse me, 12-game stretch where you don't get a game off. So that's not helpful either. Going to the West Coast, you play Oakland, the Dodgers, then Seattle, then you come home after a day off, which that's going to be well needed. There's a couple of tough stretches in here. How do you feel about the schedule as we're getting towards the end?
It's tough, but if we win the games, it's going to be a quick route to progress up the standings. But if we lose the games, it's going to be a quick descent down the standings. We're going to watch our playoff hopes slip away quick. So it's direct. I'll give it that. And it means that the baseball is going to be meaningful and interesting, which at this time of year is all you can pray for, right? It's all you can pray for. Our destiny is in our hands. It's a bit scary though, just because I'm still yet to see that this team is about to go crazy and go on a crazy run. But if we do it now, now's the time to do it.
Because you're going to be playing teams you'd like to be beating to move them down the standings as well. I think if you just kind of look at the schedule, where is going to be the most critical stretch? I think that there's a stretch where you play San Diego at home, Minnesota at home for 4 games, and Baltimore, and then the Phillies and Cleveland. That's a really tough stretch. All of those games are played in a row with no off days, and you travel in the middle there after the 4-game set versus Minnesota. This is all at the beginning of September and the end of August. you play three games at home against San Diego, four games at home versus Minnesota. Then you go on the road with no off day to Baltimore for three, to Philadelphia for three, to Cleveland for four. Then you come home. That is going to be a really, like, I mean, if we're still in contention at that point, which I think we will be, that's going to be a really telling stretch of baseball, because you need to, you probably have to win all those series, and it's going to be hard. You're playing every one of those are playoff contenders, so you're going to be in a hard place. And before that, you play Seattle on the road for three games, and the Dodgers. So that's a brutal stretch of baseball games. You have to face Randy. In Seattle. Which there's no way he doesn't absolutely. We're just going to have to hope that nobody else goes off, because Randy's going off. We already know it's going to be a bloodbath. He's hitting at least two home runs that series. But he's only one guy, and the Rays, I think, can win all. There's no team out there right now that's like, I mean, the Dodgers are really, really good. And so are a lot of these teams, even like Baltimore. But no team out there is the Terminator. Baltimore's had rough stretches recently. You know, the Phillies are really, really good too. You can beat any of these teams any given day. The Yankees the other day got to Zach Wheeler, who's their best starter. So, like, all of these, you know, all these teams can be beaten. So you just got to find a way.
Yeah. Yeah. FanGraphs currently puts us at 8.6% chance to make the playoffs. It's going to, like I said, it's going to be an uphill battle. We could.
Yeah, we could. It's going to be tough though. It's going to be tough. Like, we can't deny it. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
One thing that's,
I was just going to say, last question. If we don't make the playoffs this season, does that mean that, like, the Rays have failed in their ideology?
No, because you had, like, if you look at it, you'd be talking about over 6 years. You missed the playoffs only once, and you were. You know, contending in all those other years, even those some years we didn't think we were going to win the World Series, we were contending in all those other years. I don't think you failed in your ideology, because you trusted your core. They had a rough season. You had a lot of injuries too, and you still aren't fully whole as a pitching staff as well. So,
yeah. I also think that, like, they're not going to be bad or tanking at any point.
No.
In the future, like next year, like expectations for the 2025 race are pretty high,
right? Very high, I would say.
So, like, if the worst outcome you get in your, like, always stay competitive is like, oh, we still stayed competitive, we were just like okay, like our worst scenario was we were okay. That's, like, way better than the White Sox or the tank when the Orioles were tanking or, like, anything like that. So that's for me, like, the proof that the ideology works, is that, like, if in the worst case scenario, you're, like, still, like, a bit above 500, but not enough to make the playoffs, that's like, oh, right, that's how bad it gets. Fine, sign me up.
You know what you can sign me up for any day of the week? A trip to shop.rblrsports.com. You can sign me up any day, because you've got the best gear over there for all the teams in the Bay. The Rays, the Bucks, the Lightning, the Rowdies. I know that was the wrong order, but I like the Rays, so I'm going to say the Rays. All those teams have the best merch out there. Right out shop to rblrsports.com. If you go there today, 10% off anything your heart could desire to get. Promo code Flappy, FLAPPY. 10% off everything there. Promo code FLAPPY, shop.rblrsports.com.
Hey, you'll always be in contention for best dressed if you get there. Your floor is raised astronomically when you're wearing an RBLR t-shirt. That's what I gotta say. We should end on a positive.
We've got one.
Yeah. Like, so it was on the trade deadline, in fact. So maybe the biggest trade that the Rays made as an organization was that they have traded Tropicana Field for a stadium to be named later.
And the stadium, what do you think the name of the stadium is going to be?
Everyone keeps saying Publix.
I think it's got to be Publix. If it's not Publix, it's a huge missed opportunity. They don't have a stadium.
I do like the orange juice. I do like the orange juice theme.
Yeah, I do.
Maybe like, is there like a marine biology company that could sponsor us?
That would be maybe SeaWorld, maybe in years gone by could have. We're burying the lead a little bit. The big news is that the final votes have passed. Everything, all the potential hurdles have been cleared. The Rays are staying in Tampa for years and years to come. Shovels will be in the ground, hopefully at the beginning of this next year, to begin construction on the Rays' new stadium. If it looks anything like all of the images that we've seen, it's going to be a phenomenal place. There's a lot of discussion about it mimicking the Battery in Atlanta, which I've been to personally. It's a phenomenal place. Just having all that around there, that just making it a happening place, and then putting a great baseball stadium there. It being a dome was a necessity, and they've got that. I'm super excited, and just super excited that we're done with this. We're done worrying if they're going to stay. We're done worrying about stadium stuff. We want to talk about it for a long time, like, because it kept coming up, and I was like, I don't really want to talk about it. I'm sick of talking about it and hearing about it. I'm happy to talk about it now because it's over. It's done. The decisions are made. The shovels will be in the ground. The Rays are staying in Tampa, and there's going to be an amazing new stadium. It'll be sad to see the Trop go, but we're going to have an amazing new stadium to play in 2027, 2028. We'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be great, and I can't wait. And hopefully that will help with some of the to help boost attendance in the area.
Yes.
And boost business in the area. And
yes.
Everyone in St. Pete seems pretty positive that it'll make the area around the Trop more of a destination. So even if you're not going for a baseball game, there's going to be people in that location. And then it works vice versa, right? Where you're like, hey, I'm going to go to this bar that's great near the stadium. And then while you're there, you're like, hey, the Rays are playing later. Do you just want to go? Like, yeah. Creating footfall is great. And everyone says yes. The Battery in Atlanta is fantastic. So it's exciting. But mainly, we don't have to deal with news stories about a split city in Montreal.
Yes,
we don't have to worry about Nashville. We don't have to worry about all of these other teams looking to poach the Rays away. They are here. The Longoria video on Twitter had me crying in the club. It was truly, truly great to see. And the people of Tampa deserve a baseball team, and they've had a good one, and they will continue to have a good one, which is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And now the fundraiser should be on for me to get to the Trop before they knock
yes.
it down, folks.
You got it. Pat has got to be at the Trop before it goes away. He's got to see a game in the Trop. Has to happen.
Maybe like I should do like a charity, like MLB The Show live stream, and the charity is
you should.
It like gets me flying. How yes. far can I get in ladder with an all Rays team on MLB The Show?
I think it's got potential.
Not very far. not because the Rays team, the all Rays team can't work. It's just that I am like mid at best at MLB The Show. Maybe me and Carter could do some co-op. I don't know.
RBLR live stream fundraiser, maybe in the future. You'd know about it if we decide to do that. You'd know about it if you followed, if you subscribed. And we appreciate everyone that's watched through and been here. So do us a favor. If you want to see that, if it ends up happening, follow, subscribe, do us a huge favor and drop a like if you enjoyed it. Drop a comment if you've got any, if you've got any thoughts on anything we said today. If you're excited about the stadium still being there, if you're excited about the moves the Rays made, or if you're frustrated about it, let us know about it. And if you're watching us live, you can let us know how you feel about it too. In future live shows that we do, we'd love to hear from you guys, and we really appreciate you guys sticking around and watching the show.
Absolutely. We have the best fans.
We do.
I think we've got the highest quality of fans out there. So we appreciate you. I think that's it. I think that's all we got. That's all we got for today. It was a pretty action-packed show. We went quite long today.
We did. We had a lot to talk about. Players got moved. We have a kind of a new baseball team, and we're not sure what's going to happen. The Rays are, put my foot in my mouth, as we speak, the Rays are winning against the Astros. So hopefully, I'm not going to predict anything because that always goes poorly. Hopefully, we end this series with a win, and we can move forward into this coming week with another series win, and maybe we can get on that run. I'd really like to see it. And I'd really like to see everyone who's here right now back here next week for another RBLR Rays show. We appreciate everybody who's been with us so far, who's kind of watched through the season with us. Has been the season we thought it was going to be, but who knows? It could still be the season of our dreams. There's a lot still out there. We're going to be saying raise up the whole way through.
Absolutely. Raise up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.